This talk was given by Bear Gokhan Bonabacher at Zen Mountain Monastery. Gokhan is a senior monastic in the Mountains and Rivers Order. This talk, like all of our talks, is offered free of charge. If you'd like to make a donation or find out more about our retreats and residency programs, visit our website at zmm.org. Thanks for listening.
This is from Ajahn Suchito, who is a contemporary Theravadan teacher. He says, pure patience is the kind of acceptance that acknowledges the presence of something without adding anything to it or covering it up. It is supported by the insight that when one's mind stops fidgeting, whining, and blaming, then suffering can be understood. It is this suffering that stirs up hatred and greed and despair, and it is through practicing the Dharma of liberation that its energy and emotional current can be stopped. Reactivity isn't the truth of the mind. It's a conditioned reflex, and it's not self. Because of that, suffering can be undone, and when it is, the mind is free. So this week, here in Sesshin, particularly in the first few days of Sesshin, working on a talk on patience, I was seeing how often I'm irritated and frustrated, how many opportunities I have to observe that. In the first couple of days, I was kind of feeling like it was just a constant string of irritation. I was starting to worry about myself a little bit. But appreciating the opportunity to practice patience, to study the sequence of events, to see where irritation comes from, to see the layers of irritation, irritation with conditions, with others, with myself, with my reactions, irritation with my irritation. So this is a talk about patience and about irritation, anger. And so to look at where does anger come from? Earlier in the week, Hojin Sensei talked about craving and desire. So much of our human experience is responding to desire, is desire. Our experience of that, grasping and craving. You could kind of say that that's one side of our experience. And then there is aversion, the not wanting. And all of the relatives and cousins and offspring of aversion. Anger, irritation, vexation, frustration, hatred. And so there is the wanting, I like this, I want this, and the aversion, I don't want this, I don't like this. And this is what keeps us turning in our wheel of suffering. And as I was working on this, I was finding aversion of sort of settling, appreciating that term, that it is aversion. I think so often we experience the anger, we experience the frustration, and the aversion was helping me to sort of look deeper into that. Shanti Deva says, getting what I do not want and all that hinders my desire, there my mind finds fuel for misery. Anger springs from it, oppressing me. And so getting what we do not want, not getting what we want, our unmet hopes and expectations, anger comes from things not being the way we want them to be. And so we can study all of the ways that it arises, all of the myriad permutations. There are many opportunities to not get what we want. Ajahn Suchito says that when the mind stops fidgeting and blaming, then suffering can be understood. Suffering can be understood and undone, the mind freed. And so appreciating the power and the opportunity of Sesshin, where we can't get away from ourselves, or it's harder to, where we are kind of left face to face with our reactions to everything. The distraction from that, much removed, mostly removed, from our reactions. And then the stories, the proliferations, what comes after the reaction. It often feels to me like Sesshin makes me more vulnerable to, I guess, just to feeling all of this, often to irritation, that I feel like that is closer to the surface or more, it sort of pops up, is sharper. Sesshin is helping to slow things down so that we can see, simplifying things so that we can see. And I was just appreciating how you know, with that, how important the silence and the precautions are. Just in myself seeing the continuing to learn to stay inside of that, to turn inside of that, because of the way they help to see more directly. Joko Beck says, we've got to be willing to go into ourselves honestly. When we can be totally honest with what's happening right now, we'll see it. We'll see Buddha. We can't have just a piece of the Buddha. Buddha's come whole. Our practice has nothing to do with, oh, I should be good, I should be nice, I should be this or that, I shouldn't be angry. I am who I am right now, and that very state of being is the Buddha. And so whatever you have been struggling, there's a way in which that's good. It's good that we see the stuff that we struggle with. That's where the opportunity is. We're not trying to get rid of it. We're not trying to not feel certain things. Because it's in understanding suffering that we can liberate the mind. And so to see what our reactions are, what we react to really get familiar with that feeling in our body, mind. With anger to look closely at the effect of anger, of irritation. Who does it harm? What does it do? Who is most hurt by my anger? Shantideva says that his mind finds fuel for misery, that his anger oppresses him. You know, there's a way in which anger can feel good because we feel right. It's a way of kind of building ourselves up. But to look closely at that, how does it feel when you're angry? How is it to live in that, to live in irritation, to see the world through irritation? And to see how it affects others. Even in the silence and not really interacting so much, to see how it affects others. How it affects our relationships. And in Sesshin, you know, a lot of the stuff that we get upset about is not really such a big deal, right? We're in like a pretty safe space. And so we get to work with things that are not such so hard, in a sense, to see into the more simple things and there to see, look into the nature of suffering. Zazen is a safe place to experience difficult emotion. The kleshas is the term for our strong emotions, our difficult emotions. And so some things I've been looking at with anger and with some of the teachings around anger. How often my irritation comes from wanting things to be different. People, things, situations. That's the aversion in my experience. It's not meeting, it's not what I want it to be. Seeing how quickly it happens. And so that it's like it's not logical, right? The articulate reason comes afterwards, right? That's not the reaction. It's not in the, there's no logic in the just feeling that comes up in my body. But there is often a story later, quite quickly, right? That's the proliferation, the perpetuation, the explanation, the justification. Shantidevan, talking about anger, he says, if there is a remedy when trouble strikes, what reason is there for despondency? And if there's no help for it, what use is there in being sad? So an ancient version of, if you can do something about it, do something about it. There are things that are should be fixed, should be changed. And if there's nothing you can do about it, why get upset about it? In looking at how often when I'm irritated with another person. And so I'm looking at how that's wanting them to be different, wanting to change them. And that's not my job. I can't do that. They can't do that. Right? I can't just become a different person. The person I'm irritated with, they can't just become a different person. And trying to look into seeing how accepting that, when I can accept that, that's freeing. And there's a way in which, and that's taking responsibility. You know, often there are situations where I am the one who's responsible, or at least feel responsible. That's part of where the irritation is coming from. And seeing that what's helpful is not being irritated with this person, but accepting, seeing, okay, this is the situation, this is the person, this is who we are here, and now what do we do? Now how do we take care of this? Noticing how often there's blame that is part of the story of the irritation or the anger, the aversion. So there's another thing that Shanti Davis asks in his looking at his experience of anger. He says, why do I get angry with people and not with inanimate things? And I'm not sure about this. So a week or so ago, maybe it was longer ago, I put a drink down on the windowsill in the men's locker room. And the windows had just been opened, like the first day. And I put it down, and the wind blew, and the curtains blew in and knocked my drink over. Right? That feeling flashes up in my body. Some particular words come out of my mouth. And right behind that, there's blame. Why did he open the windows? And so, who am I angry at in this situation? Right? Where is it coming from? Am I mad at the wind? At the person who opened the windows? At myself for putting my cup down there? At the cup? Am I angry at the feeling in my body? The discomfort? The anger itself? And so when there's blame, what's happening? Right? Are we trying to take this discomfort and give it to someone else? Put it on someone else? Where is the discomfort? Where does it actually come from? And so, on that afternoon, the han was sounding. It was time for zazen. I needed to change into my robes. I was a little late. I'm trying to chug down my Ovaltine. I put it down on the windowsill, over it goes. There's chocolate milk all over the place. Where's the problem? Is there a problem? And so, after that outburst, I got a towel, and I wiped it up, and I put my robes on. And I wasn't late for zazen. Pema Chodron says it is the kleshas, those difficult emotions, that are the problem. She calls them the culprits. The anger is what is causing the pain, the disharmony, the suffering. And she says we could all use some help with the kleshas, with working with them. I've also been looking at how much anger is a habit. It is a conditioned response. Right? We can You know, I feel like that's there are these places we can trust the teachings on that, right? And then we can see that in ourselves. I've been noticing sometimes that I'll react and it's like my heart isn't really in it. It's like I'm kind of going through the motions. It's like, well, I'm supposed to be irritated. I'm used to being irritated in a situation like that. There is anger that we turn outwards, right, towards others. Sometimes that comes from a particular situation, from an interaction. Sort of see the cause of it. And sometimes it seems like there's just anger. Not clear where it's coming from, it's just in us. And we may not even sort of see how it's coming out, but it's coming out if it's in us. I was remembering early in my practice, it may have been in my first year of residency, which really was very beginning of practice for me, and just sesshin after sesshin sitting in the zendo and just being angry, just being filled with anger. And not, as I remember, about anything in particular. I think just kind of the pain and disappointment of life. And I've had a really good life. And I think I was just sort of sitting and feeling that, being in touch with that, and letting it move through to some extent. And so I think about that, looking out at the world, all the anger that there is in the world. And so many people who have, in a sense, reason to be angry. How do we let this anger move through so that it can be freed, liberated? Because looking around, we see what happens when it's not tended to. And there's anger and aversion and judgment that we turn on ourselves. Pema Chodron says that practice is not an improvement plan. It's not a situation in which you try to be better than you are now. The problem is that the desire to change is fundamentally a form of aggression towards yourself. And so, can we see this subtle aggression? Sometimes not so subtle. Can we hear the things that we say to ourselves? Would we say such things to others? At the beginning of Sesshin, Hojin Sensei said, "There's nothing broken, none of us are broken. Fundamentally, there is nothing missing, we are whole." And we have these places where we get caught, the kleshas. We have to work with them. But they're not us, right? We are not our anger, our jealousy, our desire. There's a refrain in the Buddha's teaching, "This is not mine, this I am not, this is not myself." Anger is not me. And so to look at the aggression, violence sometimes, that we perpetuate on the things that we see as ourself, our bodies, our personalities, our habits. And what are these things, really? Wanting, particularly at times of my life, my body to be different. Kind of private, quiet conflict with my own body. Wanting times for my personality to be different. So much when I was growing up, people would say, "Why don't you talk more? How come you're so quiet?" I started to feel like there was something wrong with me. And I read, someone gave me an article. At some point, I'd been practicing for some time, called something like How to Take Care of Your Introvert. And I was like, it was kind of it really turned something. So it's like, oh, that's me. That's just how I am. This is my conditioned self. And so all of the different things that came together to make this self, this is how they turned out. Other people turned out differently with different conditions. That's how they are. And then sort of accepting that way of being for myself, I was able to work with it, to work with those conditions. Be skillful within that particular conditioning. This is not me. This is not mine. This is not myself. And this is what I have to work with, where my work is. We are whole. There's nothing lacking, nothing broken. And we have work to do. And that's not a contradiction. They're both true. It's all true. And so to work with patience with ourselves. Not expecting ourselves to be different than we are. The more we can see our wholeness, live in our wholeness, the more we can work with releasing, letting go of the habits that bind us, that are not skillful. Ajahn Suchito, again, he says, patience is the kind of acceptance that acknowledges the presence of something without adding anything to it or covering it up. And so in working with irritation and practicing patience, the first step is to see that we're reacting, that we're having a reaction. And if we can, to see what we are reacting to. Sometimes we can just realize that we're reacting. He says, reactivity isn't the truth of the mind. Our reaction isn't the truth. It's a conditioned reflex. It's a habit. It's a habitual response. particularly conditioned by our own habit, by what we've done in the past. And it's not the self. We so quickly get caught up, identify with. We're not our anger. That's not who we are. Even in that moment where we are filled with it in our body, we're not our anger. That's not who we are. It's a passing experience. It's just a body-mind sensation. And so again, to appreciate the opportunity of Sesshin to see these reactions, to study them. One of the ways that I find that happens at Sesshin is sort of the contrast. And so that there are periods when, particularly in Zazen, there is peace, there is stillness, there is quiet. It's like, oh. And then we get up, or someone next to us starts sneezing too much, or you know, someone's taking too long in the bathroom, and like, it all unravels. What happened? But again, just to see that, what did happen? And as we develop stability, as we develop concentration, it helps us to see what's happening. It's not, those are not in contradiction. And so again, to start with things that are relatively simple, with sensation, a physical sensation. And so during Zazen, when you have an itch, and we're sitting in stillness, so you get to just see what's happening, not moving, not doing anything about it. And so what do? There is this sensation. It's unpleasant. You want it to go away. And then what happens? And so to see the proliferation, to see the story that develops, do you go to anger, despair? You want things to be different than they are. Ajahn Suchito suggests drawing a line around our suffering. And I think what he's saying is just to see it, right? See, sort of, it's like just see that, just see what's happening. Take this small thing. Don't make it bigger. And this is the instruction in Zazen. Stay with your experience. Try not to add to it, make it more than it is. And don't try to make it go away. To stay with the whole experience. So the itch and everything that comes with your reactions to that. Stay with your experience. And one thing that we learn through this in Sesshin, that I think we kind of have to learn in Sesshin, is tolerance. Right? We learn that we can stay there. We can be with that sensation. Ajahn Suchito says, we bear with the waves of turbulence. Because there are waves of turbulence. We learn that we can tolerate that, whether it's physical discomfort, emotional discomfort. We don't have to get away, we don't have to make it stop. And we can learn that we can actually look and see what's happening in the midst of that. And in that, there's the chance of seeing how suffering is created. There's an itch on your face. Where's the problem? Is there a problem? Where is the suffering coming from? And so we're encouraged in Zazen to come as close to our experience as we can. So whether it's the breath, whether it's the pain in your knees, or the itch on your nose, what happens when you turn directly into that experience? You enter that experience, letting go of the squirming in your mind, the worry and the story, and just allow it to be what it is. Again, where is the suffering? And I was reflecting on my experience of suffering, and so I've particularly been looking at irritation. And so when I pay attention to that, that it's tight, it's constricted. And it's like things get smaller. My mind has gotten smaller. And fixated on the irritation. And then letting go, opening that, allowing my mind to be broader. That's the release. That's patience, acceptance. Sometimes during Sesshin, I can kind of see my mind. I get tight, and I can loosen it. And I can get tight, and I loosen it. And it's like suffering, not suffering. Suffering, not suffering. So there's the problem is when want and don't want solidify, and when we identify. Then there's suffering. And so let us look closely at this to see how like and dislike escalate, solidify. This is where it all begins. And the Buddha talked about the whole mass of suffering. I was thinking we could, again, sort of looking around at our world, think, you know, see it as this whole mass of conflict. And this is where it begins. I want, I don't want. That's where it begins, or doesn't begin.
Thanks for listening. You can find more Dharma talks, interviews, and events at zmm.org/media. While online, please check out the Jizo Project, our multifaceted initiative to make Zen Mountain Monastery more accessible and welcoming to all. Learn about the new Jizo House building and accessibility enhancements to existing facilities that are just two aspects to this exciting endeavor. Find out more and see how you can get involved at zmm.org/JizoProject. That's JizoProject.